beach cafe, not too far away from town. In the silence of the night, near the forest of real life, with revenge in mind, she makes the voodoo out of sight.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome, welcome to the French Connections Thursday edition. Today's date is January 18th, 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have you with me today. It's a bit of a conversation day for you. I'm going to do a little rant here, a little discussion of what's been happening. I've taken a few days off for my health and to take a break from this information. As you all know, ladies and gentlemen, this stuff is very heavy, very heavy information. You know, sometimes you just need to step back and do an assessment of what you're looking at and the information and what's coming in. And so much has been discovered by so many people. You know, the French Connection is a collection point for the efforts of a lot of people. We've found so much information from Carol Valentine and from, you know, from Jimmy Conda Jr. and Eric and Bolin, and it just goes on and on, and Friedman and Fagan. It just, what we are, ladies and gentlemen, is a repository for factual, well-documented information. And I've got more of it coming out about the financial structure and financial system. And we hope to be doing some interviews in the near future on finance and on how the motivation behind this mess we're all finding ourselves in is financial. Many people out there believe that it is a spiritual war. And, you know, I don't discount that people in the periphery of this fight against us believe that. But I don't believe the people at the very top are really battling this on a spiritual level. I think they're fighting this mess as a means of consolidating their control. It's about power. It's about greed. It's about control. And how and why do I say this? Well, because I'm a student of history of the actions of this group. They were involved, if you look at the history books, they were involved in the Civil War. They were involved in the French Revolution. They were involved in Oliver Cromwell. They were involved in the Russian Revolution, in World War I and II, and so many other things. And while there's always a spiritual element to death and mayhem, their motivation always turned out to be, in the final analysis, greed, power, and control. And where we find ourselves today is in a situation where all of our banking systems, save one or two in the world, and that one that is not included is Iran, but save one or two, are controlled by these international bankers. They've got a debt-based banking structure set up in every part of the world. And as a result of that debt-based banking, they are able to write the check for the banks in the local markets and then control the bust or boom cycle, control the expansion or contraction of credit and the interest rate fluctuations. They can turn on a dime a booming economy and turn it into a bust. And they can foment anger between nations. Because many times, ladies and gentlemen, when one turns the spigot off, it benefits another, and of course, in international parlance, that looks like someone is aggressing your country financially. But it's always been these international bankers. They're centered in London and Zurich and New York and some other major capitals, Frankfurt for one. And when you take a look at how they've put this system together, this debt-based system, and what the solutions are, there is a group that has been working very hard at promoting a solution that I've been looking more and more at lately. It's a group called the Broome's Grove Conference. And the person that is behind the Broome's Grove is James Gibb Stewart. Now, Mr. Stewart is almost 90 now, but he has spent about 30 years of his life trying to inform the world about the dangers of the control given over to central banks in a system built on debt. And he's got a lot of great backers in his fight for the truth. He's got people such as Mike Black and Ron Morrison and James Robertson and Alistair McConaughey. And all of these people are in this group, as there are many others. But the information put out is not very different than what Lincoln knew about back in the Civil War. Not very different than what Kennedy knew should be done in the early 1960s. And not very different than what they were doing in Serbia before the invasion and Balkanization of their banking structure. Now, many people keep talking about moving our system to a commodity-based or gold-backed financial structure. These folks say that we don't need that. I have always thought that it would be a good thing to have a portion of our financial reserves in some sort of commodity-based idea, trying to give it some structure. However, in either case, as long as the debt system is removed, the rest can be talked about in some large or small way for whatever, you know, whatever a system that comes out of it in the final analysis, as long as it's not debt-based and as long as it's not being printed on a fiat system where you have fractional reserves being placed into the system, where you have erosion of capital because of inflation or because of over-monetarization of certain assets. So in other words, you can take the way they submit these loans out, where the repayer of a loan can actually generate new loans on the existing life of the loan given. In other words, it's almost like a Ponzi scheme when you take a look at it. And not only that, it turns over national sovereignty to an international, supranational system that has very little regard for the human needs of the country it's supposed to be serving, which it never is, and it's in the hands of a very small group of people who just happen to be from a specific community that we discuss here on the French Connection all the time. Now, most people within the Jewish community are not even aware that they're being used as a cover for these criminals to do their dirty work in the world. And what they've done is they've taken the suffering of this particular Jewish community and foisted certain rules on the world to make it almost impossible for us to complain about what they're doing, for fear of being called an anti-Semite, such as they've done to Mr. Carter. And not that Mr. Carter was telling very much truth either, except the fact that the APEC and JDL and the rest of them, and the ADL have too much power. Not different than the Harvard researchers said. Not different than Thomas Jefferson said. Ben Franklin said. Not different than Abraham Lincoln knew. That he said his worst enemies were the bankers that were at his rear, in one of his famous quotes. We know, ladies and gentlemen, the Europeans know. They've lived through many a problem that has been visited upon them by this particular group. And I got to tell you, there's another implosion looming, not very different than the others they've had throughout history. Because this fiat money system is, even to a student of history, is looking out of control beyond anything I've ever seen, percentage-wise. The amount of printed money in circulation right now has exceeded even the norms of previous depressions. The savings rate levels, the inflation rate levels, the inflation of the money supply, the inversion of the yield curve, the exchange controls being placed upon what happens between the euro, which is controlled by these bankers, as well as the dollar. The fact that China and the rest of the world are financing America's descent into oblivion. We make nothing anymore in America, ladies and gentlemen. We don't produce anything anymore. There's no manufacturing, which is always, use your your logic here. It's always the basis of a healthy nation. What do you produce? What do you build? What do you manufacture? What can you pull out of the ground and turn into a valued good? Value added. Can we do that? Well, no, we're not doing it anymore. We exported our value-added activities to other nations, and now we are a bunch of paper shufflers living off of borrowed money from other countries. If you think that that is a sustainable state to be in, you are so, so wrong. And the consequence of your being wrong is going to have terrible consequences for your family and the nation you think is going to protect you. It won't be. It won't have the means to. Interesting that at a time when our country needs reserve monies the most is when we have the least. We've got a huge baby boom generation ready to retire as we speak, and we have the least amount of money available to meet those needs ever in our history. So, well, ever in our history. We only started having Social Security, ladies and gentlemen, since the criminal Roosevelt was in power, who worked for these Zionist criminals. But, see, the problem is we had a system that the public, before Roosevelt and before this implosion and before the crime of 1913's Federal Reserve, many people in the country would work to be self-sustaining. This is where that individualist character of the American citizen came from, because we relied on ourselves. We had our own ability to produce our own foods at home, and we were an agrarian society with a system of self-sufficiency that worked within our communities. Well, today, 8 out of 10 people live in cities. Another 10% of them live in suburbs of those cities. And then a very small fraction of our population, like 6 or 8%, live in the rural areas. And of those people living there, only a number of 1 or 2% are producing any foods on their properties. So what do we have here? We have a country that relies on the qualitative disbursement of food coming from large mechanized farms. What happens when a financial system implodes and those farms are not getting paid in any valued money? In other words, these big farms in Arkansas and in Kansas and in even Tennessee and in Illinois and across the Midwest that are producing food in California and in the Imperial Valley and all these other areas, Florida, when they can't get paid with any valued currency, the dollar's worthless, they're going to stop producing their food. And if you think that your gold jewelry or your silver coins are going to get into the hands of these farmers doing that producing, you're probably mistaken. So what you're going to find is that they're between the time the currency starts going south and the time you need to get food in your family's mouth, there's going to be a huge lag time before they can sort out the problem, and you're not going to have any food available. Now, am I being a doomsday sayer here? No, I'm trying to inform you that there are ways you can be proactive about this. Now, let's talk about proactive. We had in the World War II, which was a fabricated war by the Zionists, but we had victory gardens. We had people producing food on their little plots of land within their suburban areas. Maybe you need to start earmarking an area in your backyard this year and make your first attempt at a garden. I mean, you don't need a huge area of garden space to produce a sizable amount of food. Believe it or not, if you work at it and get the soil tilled and do your homework and put the right stuff in the ground, what you're going to find is that you have enough food actually produced in a reasonably small patch. That'll last you months. I have a small garden where I live, and some of the foods that we produced last summer are still being used, like the onions and the potatoes. Many of the others have been eaten, but early on you can do some canning. you know, you can put them in boiling water and cover them up and let them boil for 20 minutes. Well, actually, it's longer than that. It's like an hour to make sure there's no bacteria in there. And then you can put them on the shelf for a year. And you can eat them later. But these are things you have to relearn. We've lost the knowledge. So I urge you folks to start learning about how to feed yourselves with this system. Now, the people that do the best in this next mess are going to be the people who prepare themselves. Now, of course, it would be great to be able to avoid this completely, but I don't see, with our manufacturing base as in bad a condition as it is, how we're going to avoid the pain. What I do know is the financial system is not going to survive. So take it as an automatic that at some point within the future of your lifetime here, within the next year, 2 years, I can't tell you a date. If I were to tell you, I'd be lying because I don't know. But all I know is you cannot keep lead balloons in the air for long. They end up falling to the ground. So take this, be proactive. Go back in the archives and hear what Jerry Godetti had to say about seeds and about growing things and about, you know, how important it is. What you're going to find out, here's what I found out, and I didn't know this. I'm not a farmer, guys. What I found out was that I really enjoyed it. My wife especially took to it. She thought it was wonderful. I mean, it's nothing like pulling something out of your own garden and eating it. Or making a salad after you've grown it yourself, peppers and tomatoes and onions and stuff. It's just really cool. And what happens is if you take an interest in it, because it really is quite enjoyable, you start finding out that there's little secrets. Maybe you find out of somebody who raises fresh animals that you can buy reasonably priced. You learn about canning. You learn about storing stuff. And it actually becomes a very enjoyable part of your daily existence. And I got to tell you, I highly recommend it to everybody. It puts you back in touch with what it really is to be a human being. On the other fronts that we've got going on here, everybody wants to attack the French Connection. Interesting that the attacks are coming from people who have no credibility. I just been looking at the lineup on GCN and RBN, and boy, you want to talk about a nest of liars over there. I mean, Burmis and Tarpley and Szymanski and Dengel. I mean, look at that video on Dr. Deagle. I called him Dengel. Dr. Deagle. Talking about subliminal transport something or others into the next dimension that have been living on the dark side of the moon. And, oh, my God. Or you want to go over to Rents and read his stuff on taking a Martian vacation and stuff, you know. And when we come out and talk about these people, of course, they attack us, and then I get a bunch of emails saying, you know, we should believe in UFOs. And come on, guys, pull your head out of your fanny if you're believing in that stuff. That guy Greer is a liar. He's a liar. He's a government shill. He's out there trying to sell this UFO nonsense to the public. And by the way, the American public has bought it. A large number of them have, I think 60 or 70%, which tells you that you're living amongst a bunch of dummies. I mean, fence post stupid, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, everybody, I think there's a built-in hope that we're not alone in this universe. And I can't say for sure if out of all the billions of stars out there, there isn't life somewhere else, looking up at their star saying, is there life somewhere else? I can't say that. What I can say is that these elites have used this lie as one of their control points, one of their control mechanisms. And that as far as any evidence has ever been shown, there are no visitors to the Earth from other planets. Now, that's in spite of what they've had these people line up and say, yes, I saw one, it was a UFO, and la la la. Well, many of the UFO sightings that they have these days are just pure lies. But some of them have explanations that people needed to get from their natural phenomena or black ops machinery, but certainly not UFOs. Now, of course, that's going to fill my email box up again because there's going to be a bunch of chuckle beans out there that tell me that, yeah, you're wrong and they're everywhere and, you know, I went up in one and, all right, good for you. Anyway, get some help is my recommendation to anybody that's believing in that stuff. The other side of it is what's happening in Iraq and Iran. We are looking at almost a sure thing as far as the Bush administration is concerned. Now, the question then is, in our court, the ball's in our court, what are we going to do about it to either stop them from letting this happen in the first place, or once they've done it, what are we going to do to get our young men and women out of this place, and how are we going to expose Israel for the criminal state that it is? These are things that we're going to be working on over the next weeks and months. And what I need from you is help to get people to our website, to get people to start reading and re-listening to some of the older files. Most of the work we've done in the audio files are timeless, and certainly the articles that have been placed up on our website do not require a dating. You can read them as points of information, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, we should take the dates off them and put them just by subject. These articles and stuff, and because every single one of them is an education. You know, we pride ourselves on due diligence. We try to do the work that is required of us to get the right answers. And I think, by and large, we've been able to do that. And the guest list, we've been duped a few times, but the guest list, by and large, also has been quite solid in its research. So go back in the archives and listen to what these people have to say. Listen to what Dennis Halliday had to say about the structure of the UN and about the 1990s in Iraq and what he saw there. And so you can get an idea of the suffering of this country and understand that these people should never have been placed into this awful thing. The American public has done something awful to Iraqis. And we'll all go to our graves with a terrible guilt and responsibility to that country. It should be repaid somehow. I don't know that we will ever be able to do it. In fact, the damage has been so terrible, we will never be able to. And that this bin Laden stuff, big lies, and you know it, the guy's dead, and this al-Zarqawi they used for years was a big lie, a big sack of crap, and terrorism is nonsense. It's fabrication of our government, Israel, and Britain, with the closed eyes of the rest of the West, and the rest of the world for that matter. Nobody's out there telling on these criminals. I hope the day comes where countries start standing up and saying, we know terrorism's a lie, it's just being done by the Mossad, by the MI5, MI6, and SAS, and the CIA and FBI and the rest of you crooks. Why would these countries not do that? Well, because if they do say anything, they're in that banking system I talked about in the beginning of the discussion here, and they would be punished. I'm sure of it, and there'd probably be murders and assassinations and the rest of it. So send this stuff around. Do your part for the French Connection. Send this information to friends and family. They are more receptive now than ever before. It's time that we started the cascading effect of this information. And as for this system that we've built here, Eric, myself, Berlin, others, it's not free of charge. We have to put our own money into this. And boy, I'll tell you, your donations do help us a great deal. And I want to urge you to continue giving us a hand with that because I can't afford it, very simply. And Eric and I put all of our hearts and souls into this fight, and we need your help with the rest of some of the expenses. A buck, $5, $10 if you need to get an envelope or ship a go PayPal. It's probably the simplest. It's all on the site. And the last thing, there's no way that I will ever do myself in. So if they ever try to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I did myself in with some suicide crap, you know that that's a lie. That's be a bold-faced, 100% sack of lie. And that, I think we're in a situation right now, because we've gotten the traction we have, they would love to get rid of us, but don't know how to do it. Well, fact of the matter is, there's no way I'm going anywhere. And there'll be no accidents coming from my side, and there's no suicide, and there's no, I'm not out there committing crimes to be put in jail. They might be fabricating one for me, but certainly I wouldn't be doing it myself. So just know that going into it, ladies and gentlemen. And that's for my detractors. Know that going into it. Little rant. I'm glad I came back to do this with you. I have some guests coming up in the near future. We're going to start looking into some new subjects. And I want to thank you for being a part of this day's broadcast. Again, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Thanks for being here. Be well now. Bye-bye.